Maybe the terms change, but the issue of homelessness is a persistent one. People live on the streets despite decades of efforts to find homes for them, or at least services to take care of their needs while they look for homes themselves. Two cities in our region are using the same terminology for a portion of the homeless population. Travelers is the term, and it's used to imply that some portion of the people hanging out on the streets are there by choice, traveling from place to place. Ashland and Eugene are the two cities. The mayors of both join us in this hour to talk about the approaches in their towns. Kitty Piercy is the mayor of Eugene and is on the phone with us from there. Kitty, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And John Stromberg is the mayor of Ashland. He's in the studio. John, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Kitty.
Hi, John.
So let's start with just some general stuff. Mayor Piercy, if you can tell us about the overall situation with homelessness in your town, which we have talked about in a number of different interviews on the Exchange, just about the general mass of homelessness there, and then narrow down, if you could, to the issue of travelers.
So I can't have this conversation without sort of looking at the national context that we live in, and that, as everybody knows, we had a financial breakdown in this country. We had a deep recession. We had a lot of people who sort of fell out the bottom. We've had a growing disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And so, as you see presently in New York and D.C., all across this nation, and most profoundly now it seems on the West Coast, you have mayors of L.A. and Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Bend, all declaring a crisis or emergency situations in terms of the numbers of unhoused folks that they are contending with in their communities, and they approach it from both a view of compassion and impact on their communities and their capacity for dealing with them. So it's a very stressful situation. In my case, I recently sent a resolution council support to the governor and to legislative leadership of Oregon, asking them to step up to help all of us with this, what I consider to be a crisis or an emergency, and ask them to put together a work group to, from the state level and the local level to come up with some solutions. You read the paper, you see that this is not only a homeless issue, but it's even more a housing scarcity issue for very low-income people that forces more and more people out onto our streets. So it's a very dynamic and very stressful and difficult time right now.
John Stromberg, the same sort of question for Ashland. Ashland being considerably smaller than Eugene, but having some of the same issues going on.
Kitty was so comprehensive, I wouldn't disagree with anything she said. But in Ashland, let me focus the issue that has really brought this up to our sort of number one priority, and that is quality of life in Ashland is not a fringe benefit. Quality of life is why almost everybody lives here, and quality of life means not that when you go to the golf course you have a good pro shop or something. What it means is when you walk down the street, people look you in the eye and smile, and sometimes they just say hello. And if you do that in Palo Alto, they think there's something wrong with you. So when that gets disrupted, that threatens our economy, that threatens the heart of why we're living here, and it has been disrupted by some really nasty, intimidating, threatening behavior by certain people on the streets who pretty clearly are not local and who probably don't have a place to live, though some of them may be camping or staying at Wellsprings or something like that. It's very hard. I don't use the term travelers because some of the people designate themselves with the term travelers. I did a listening session a couple of weeks ago for 3 hours for anybody who wanted to comment on behavior that was going on. And I titled it The People Passing Through, trying to be as neutral as possible.
When you talk about nasty, intimidating, and threatening behaviors, though, it sounds like some of these might rise to the level of police attention.
Well, the interesting thing is that the people doing it seem to be very savvy about what their constitutional rights are and with respect to the law and the things they can get away with. And you can get away with quite a bit because we have such strong protections for civil liberty and free speech. We are, you know, our city attorney continues to research possibilities and threatening behavior, that kind of thing. But walking along behind a very pregnant woman and commenting on her in gross sexual terms and harassing her because she didn't give you money is just unacceptable in this community. And yet it's not necessarily against the law.
So you've got that issue of crude people on the streets of Ashland. How big is the homeless issue in Ashland at the same time? I mean, this is an issue. This is a city where it costs a lot to live. And as I watch the Portland area talk about a housing crisis, too, because rents are just zooming there at the moment. Is that a similar issue what you have going on in Ashland?
Well, I think you're talking about two separate issues. Mm-hmm. One is affordable housing. And housing is less affordable in Ashland than in probably anywhere else in the Rogue Valley. So people who would like to live here can't live here. So, you know, they're living somewhere else. That in itself is a problem because we lose the diversity in the young families and a lot of other things. Then there are actually people who are part of the community who are homeless, who live on the streets and sleep in various places that they can find or in or inside or outside the city limits. And I don't know that the numbers, I'm guessing that it's a couple of hundred. In the last few years, we've taken some significant steps beyond what city government usually sees itself doing to provide help to them. But we need to do and would like to do more.
John Stromberg is the mayor of Ashland. Kitty Piercy, the mayor of Eugene. We're talking about homelessness and the issue of the travelers, as the term has been applied. 800-838-3760 if you've got questions or comments for our guests. jx@jeffnet.org, our email address. Mayor Piercy, similar situations on the streets of Eugene to behaviors that are making some people feel uneasy?
Yes. This is what I would say, that after... in our case, after 40 years of having some empty pits and empty storefronts in our downtown, we have come through a reinvigoration of our downtown where things are full and lively and active. But still we have this impact of folks sprawling on our street corners and sidewalks that make some folks uncomfortable about coming downtown. I've chosen to use the word traveler because that's what they call them. Some of them call themselves, and I would say some travelers are homeless and some homeless are travelers, but they're not all the same. But we have to deal with all of them, and we have to try to find a way to live with all of them. My approach to the issue right now is to say that our public spaces should feel safe and good to everyone, and that we should find a way to make that happen for everyone who lives here or visits here. So we're going to have a meeting on December 2nd. What I've said to people is this is not a place to come to bring your complaints. We've heard a lot of those. We know what those are. This is a place to bring solutions and ideas for how we can move forward to make our public spaces safer and more pleasant for everyone. So we're inviting those ideas in. We want to try some right away, and then we'll work on longer-term solutions as well. An example I can give is some of our high-tech folks have come in and said they want to do what they call a hackathon, and that's where you come up with solutions from the tech world for the things that we were talking about. We were talking about a kiosk or something of that order. This is just prior to having the meeting with the public. So no, this is not a given answer in any way, but just a place where people can go to find temporary jobs or to, if you're fleeing from domestic violence, get you connected with women's space or other things like that. And the techie guys said, well, if we approached that, we'd probably approach it from using an app to do that. And I said, an app, really? Does everybody who's out on the street have a phone? And everyone says yes, they all do. So it's just a different solution for in a different context for trying to deal with some of these issues of downtown. So we'll see what people come up with. I'm optimistic until I can't be. I want to move us forward as a community. We've had in one way or another this issue. It's just more intense now, But when I moved here in the 70s, the first thing I heard were about what they called at the time mall rats, kids on the streets. So it's not a new issue. It's an intensified issue, and the behavior is more intense as well.
Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to add something. One of the things that I learned that was kind of surprising in this listening session I did, towards the going into the third hour, a young woman, well-dressed, well-spoken, came up to the microphone and said she is by choice home free. She's a homeless person who lives in this area and supports herself. I've forgotten whether she was a nanny or did some other things like that. But one of the things she said is you need to understand that some of the people coming through and the ones who are really causing problems for you do not buy into your whole system. And not just Ashland, but the whole culture, the whole establishment,
right,
whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And they are trying to disrupt your world here. And so thinking now that part of what we're dealing with is people who are coming from a sort of philosophical, you know, point of view, that opened my eyes.
You said third hour of the listening session. How long did that listening session go on?
Well, we stayed until everybody had spoken, and it went about 2 hours and 45 minutes, I guess. So that was probably 50 people. Everybody had 3 minutes.
Before we get into what has emerged so far, let me ask a little bit about analysis and how much you've put city staff onto finding out how many travelers you have, where they come from, things like that. John Stromberg?
We haven't done any of that. We just talked to each other. We've been looking at other kinds of things. For us, it's important. It's clear that it's helpful to have more police presence down there than we've had. Our police department has been short-staffed recently for a variety of reasons having nothing to do with this problem. And so what we've got to figure out is how do we get the resources and how do we mobilize that in time for the start of the season, which comes in the spring, the start of the next season.
The tourist season. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kitty Piercy, what kind of work has gone on in Eugene in terms of trying to put some analysis on the issue, figure out where the people are coming from, where they intend on going, things like that?
There's been a lot of research on that, and I think the finding at this point is about half of the folks that are fit into this category are come from our area, and about half come from other places. And it's in my view, whether you're talking about your everyday homeless person or you're talking about that category of people who travel, people, you can't put them all in one group no matter what. They're a very diverse population. You know, some of them are old, some of them are young, some of them are single mothers, some of them are people with mental disabilities, some of them are people with developmental disabilities, some of them have had a economic crisis, and even when people tell you that they're traveling, if you spend very much time with them and delve into it, they got into doing that generally for a reason, sometimes philosophical, sometimes because life just ended up with them like that. I can tell you that our population, and I'm going to go to work on this, and I don't know whether John will find this population, but I think it's true throughout Oregon. We have a lot of kids who are flushed out of the foster care system in our state, and when you come of age, you're just on your own, and there's no plan, and you have no housing, and you're just left adrift in the world. And there are a lot of numbers of young people who have grown up in this system under the state care, and they're just out. And so I think that's a population we could do something about. I think we have a responsibility to do something about it, and I think it will actually ease some of the presence on our streets and the impacts on our communities.
But there is ILP available for them. The Independent Living Program is supposed to get foster kids ready for independence once they're aged out of the foster system.
Well, I have to say that right now what you find is they're aged out and there's no house. There's no place for them to live. They don't necessarily have a job. They are just out there joining up with other young people trying to survive, and that leads to things that we find very difficult to deal with in our communities. We have actually in Eugene, I believe, the first apartment complex that's dedicated to providing housing, I think it's for about 8 foster kids that come out of the system. And I believe it's the first one in the state.
We're talking to Mayor Kitty Piercy in Eugene and Mayor John Stromberg in Ashland about homeless travelers, people who are disrupting the downtown areas in their communities and approaches to it. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts, comments, questions are welcome. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Mayor Stromberg, you mentioned that the people including one who showed up for the listening session, who talked about the fact that some people simply just reject the system. I know, having had a few people in the studio to talk about why they are homeless, we have run across a few people who said similar things. They just don't particularly want to take part in the economy as it is. I mean, the fact is, ultimately, you end up in a situation where people are doing what they want to do. They just are getting in the way of people who want to be able to enjoy the town their own way.
Yeah, and I wanted to also add another dimension to that. And in Ashland, the people who come into town who are seasoned panhandlers and have packs of dogs and hang out in groups of five or eight or something like that are diverting money from generous visitors that should be going to our local people in need. And our local people in need is a broad spectrum, and they're not all homeless, but they're people who are struggling financially. Sometimes they're families with kids. They can't pay the utilities. They can't pay for the school lunches or whatever. And people come to town for the Shakespeare Festival, and some of them are very generous with the panhandlers. I would like to see a diversion of that money into helping our local homeless and people in need.
So rather than people giving to panhandlers on the streets, that it goes into some of the services provided for the homeless people.
Yeah.
Which raises the question for both of you then, which I was just writing down here, is if you address the homelessness issue, do you end up taking care of the travelers, or is this sort of a persistent side issue that is separate and distinct?
Well, you have to be careful how you address the homeless issue, that you don't, like, we provide some really nice free meals in this town. And we have a food bank that gives food to everybody who comes. But what we found is that the people passing through take advantage of that, and then it gets publicized on social media, and this is a social media culture for a lot of these young people. So we have to find a way of taking care of our local people. I don't feel we have the same responsibility for people who come in their own vehicles, you know, sort of living in their vans or whatever, and who are here more taking advantage of it. But I have to also say, I was talking to a young man who was downtown a couple of days ago with a backpack, asked him how he happened to come. He came, he was a trimmer. He was looking for work in the marijuana harvest. Then he decided he was having such a good time here. He was meeting such interesting people, he didn't even bother to work. Well, I don't know. He wasn't being disruptive. He was, you know, he was sort of fitting into the culture, but we are a place that people like to come to, no matter whether they're homeless or on the road or well-to-do or whatever.
It's an interesting problem to have for both cities, that they're attractive places to be. People want to hang around them. I'm curious about some of the demographics here. You mentioned a couple times young people. Do you find that the travelers who visit Ashland tend to be somewhat young and in relatively good health?
I don't have good statistics, but a lot of the problems that we can say this are being done by young men. But that doesn't mean that young men who are travelers are a class of people causing the problem. That's the tricky thing, and that's why we're trying to focus so carefully on behavior and not stereotype people.
Mayor Piercy and Eugene, what do you know about demographics among your traveler population?
I think we have a young portion and we have an older portion, and we have a portion that kind of looks young, but they're not as young as they appear to be. And I, as I said before, I actually think they're fairly diverse. And my conclusion is there is no one solution for this. We're going to have to pick off different groups of it and try to reduce the numbers. And so,
I agree.
Learn about them. I've heard of one that was on our streets downtown. As I said, it was escaping from domestic violence. Well, think we can do something to help with that. Another one ran out of money and was trying to raise some money to get on up to Seattle. Well, I think, you know, looking at some of the things mayors have done in other communities about providing short-term job opportunities for a modest amount of money could help move some people. some people will just, you know, hang, and we're not going to try to be, you know, spend a lot of time on those folks. But that's the other thing that's out there are girls, and I just, you know, there is sexual trading going up and down this corridor, and with these groups of people often come predators that prey on these girls and use them. So that's another population we really need to deal with. So I think if we try to find ways to help those that need help, we try to find ways to deal with this immense problem of foster kids that are coming out of the system that are on our streets everywhere, probably not just in Oregon, but everywhere, and that we really try to come up with multiple practical solutions for how we can reduce these numbers and the impact on our community.
May I just add to that?
Sure.
We have the county, Jackson County, is in the process of trying to establish a mental health facility here, which we haven't had for some years. And
here in Ashland, you mean?
Yeah.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree with you, Kitty, that I would like to extract from the general flux of street people with mental health problems, getting them connected to the mental health services,
right,
which takes an outreach worker and getting them made eligible. Then there's lots of services for veterans, and there are veterans out there that aren't getting them. And then there are the young people. And we used to have a caseworker who worked downtown with young people, but they're especially vulnerable. And
right,
there's lots of resources and lots of laws also. And that's one of the things that if we had someone who could be triaging, particularly in the downtown, we could at least get some of those people out of the mix, out of harm's way, reduce the numbers and the load on the community. Because I also think that we have just an overload of street people,
right,
and just compared to our capacity to be able to handle it.
All right, much more to talk about. We'll come back and talk more with Mayor John Stromberg in Ashland and Mayor Kitty Piercy in Eugene about dealing with homelessness broadly and the issue of the travelers more specifically. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange. If you're on the line, please hold. We'll get your call in just a moment. This is the Jefferson Exchange, back with John Stromberg and Kitty Piercy in a minute 20. On the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We'll move Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac to the back of the hour because we want to continue this discussion about dealing with homelessness in a large context and dealing specifically with the group that have come to be known as travelers in both Eugene and Ashland. Mayor Kitty Piercy from Eugene is on the line there, and John Stromberg from Ashland is in the studio here, and you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call from Dina in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with John Stromberg and Kitty Piercy.
Hello. Yeah, I was just thinking about the homeless kids and the ones that are in the system. And some of those caseworkers they have need more training, because I had one caseworker turn around and tell one of the girls, "I know your mother. You're going to grow up just like her." Ooh. And she turned 18 and she's out on the street. She lives over in towards the coast, mm-hmm, over there now. And it's just terrible the way some of these caseworkers act when they have the kids. I think they're in there just for the money. They're not in there for the kids.
So the caseworkers or the parents or both? I mean, the foster parents, I mean.
The caseworkers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Dean. Appreciate that. Any thoughts of illumination? Now, Kitty Piercy, you were the one who talked about kids aging out of the foster care system, potentially ending up on the streets.
And there's a lot of kids that are out there. You know, when they've done research on kids that are out in the street, a lot of them are escaping from untenable family situations where they, they're in danger. I had a couple kids show me around what it's like to be homeless when you're a kid, and their mother had addiction issues. They didn't want to turn her in. They still care about her, but they can't live at home with her. It's a very complex and difficult thing. Social workers are overloaded. I mean, I think we have to really look at this system and try to put it together in a different way that functions better for the people who are trying to help these young people and for the young people themselves. And it's very complex and difficult, just like the healthcare system is, the education system. Those are all hard, and they are all linked. And I just think we have to be very resolved and focused and work on these things because our kids are our most important thing that we have. And for so many to be left out there with no caring adults and nowhere to be and nowhere to go is not good for them and not good for our society. And really, I think it's when a kid, an underage kid is out there without any adult to help them, I just feel like that's child abuse and shouldn't be the way we do things in our state or anywhere.
There is an array of services in Eugene for dealing with people who need services, and it seems like it is constantly overwhelmed. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. We have wonderful social service providers, and many of them, and I sit with them in meetings every week, and without fail, I would say all of them are seeing reductions in funding and increases in the need for their services. So they're being very creative and trying to find better ways to knit their services together, to cooperate, and to get more out of the dollars that we have. That's what we should be doing. It is very difficult. John Stromberg was just up here looking at some of the stuff that we're having to try because of the pressures of unhoused people in our area. They're innovative. The people who are doing them are wonderful, but they are not of the standard that people should have to live in. We have something called Opportunity Village, which are a little micro housing without plumbing and without electricity. They have a group yurt that they can use, but they are shelter, and they are our community, and they are safe, and their belongings are safe. There's about 35 people in a self-governing little village there who are housed there. Some of them move on all the time to better things, and others come in. We have another innovation called Safe Spots or Rest Stops, where people can sleep safely with their belongings overnight. There's about 15 people, 20 people in each site, and we have a wonderful organization that makes practically no money that oversees that called Community Supported Shelters. We couldn't do either of these without the community stepping up and doing most of the work and most of the fundraising. We help with the spots of land that they're on. But in both cases, those are not what we would call housing for people. They don't have plumbing. They don't have electricity. They're very neat. They're very tidy. And people are doing better than being out there on the ground.
But certainly a stopgap measure.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm. Band-aid.
Dennis and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Kitty Piercy and John Stromberg. We're talking about homelessness and travelers.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, hey, Dennis.
I grew up in Eugene. I'm almost 70 years old. And when I was a little kid, down underneath the Ferry Street Bridge, where that big, beautiful park is right now,
mm-hmm.
that used to be a hobo jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge hobo jungle, and nobody would go down there. But and there was a street called Willamette Street, which is our main street, and there were several bars and taverns down there, and the women wouldn't even walk on the street down there because of all the homeless men and stuff that went on down there, and that just always was down there. And also, back in that day, the hobos and the bums would go along the street, and they would find somebody that would take them in and let them do something. Like, we always let them pitch wood into our woodshed and stack it. And so they put a mark in front of our house. And that was the way they made money. And then when they made a little bit of money, they moved on. We also had transients who came in and worked in the fields and worked in all that kind of stuff. So one of the problems is we don't have those kind of jobs anymore. So there's no place for these people to make any money. And the other problem is that this is not a new problem. It's an age-old problem. It's been around forever. And I think we should just try to help the people who actually want to be helped. And the ones who are just hanger-oners or bums, crumbs or leeches, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. Don't waste our time on them. Find the people that need the help. Let them know that if they do certain things, they get help, and if they don't want to do them, they can just go out and move on.
All right. Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate that. Kitty Piercy, he's in your town. Why don't you take it first?
Well, that was a very interesting piece of history there, and I agree with him. The problem is longstanding. I do think it's hugely exacerbated now, and I agree with him that we have to provide some opportunities for people who want to move ahead. That's why we're thinking about this notion of short-term day jobs where people can do things and for a modest amount of money. And, you know, we're thinking about things that we need in the community, like graffiti removal or working. In fact, some of the folks who are at one of our rest stops, they do work in our parks. So, yes, we're trying to provide opportunities. We'll look for other ways that within our means we can do. And I think we all would agree that you want to put your hand out to people who want to pull themselves out.
You know, Dennis kind of, he skirted the edge of this, but, you know, in reading some of the online comments about both the situation and the approaches to it in Ashland and in Eugene as well, it seems like there's a fair amount of people who are coming from one of two points, and both fairly hard lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on one end, the hard line is just tell them to get out of there, tell them to move along. And then the other end is like, come on, you're treating this like it's like, oh, get the riffraff off the street. So, I mean, you have obviously extremes you're trying to deal with here, but you're dealing with human beings. And so, you know, John Stromberg, why don't you weigh in on that?
Well, we're absolutely dealing with human beings, and it's very important if you start treating them, stereotyping them and doing that, then you start to lose your own integrity and the quality, moral quality of your community. At the same time, we have a genuine problem, and the fact that we have seasoned, hardened people who come through who really know how to panhandle and have a kind of independent existence. They just don't happen to have a home, and they're siphoning off what I suspect is a large amount of money that really should go to helping our local homeless people. We have this competition between not all the travelers, but some of them. And then we have this separate issue that some of the people who are outsiders clearly have been behaving in ways that are really damaging and bad in the community. So we're trying to figure out how to address multiple problems without losing touch of the fact that each person is a human being and these classes of people, they're even more unique than in the regular home society.
Kitty Piercy, any thoughts you want to add to that?
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to say this because I think people just don't know this. John alluded to it, and it's really the reality that we deal with, is that the Oregon Constitution protects the right of people to be in public spaces and on public property. And secondly, the Oregon Constitution protects people's right to panhandle on public property. It's considered to be asking for charitable contributions. So whether you like that or don't like that, whether you feel one way or another, that those are protected, and that's just the reality that we have to deal with. And I have really chosen to not go to either of those places that you referred to. I am aimed very carefully at saying, I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. I am trying to figure out how we can share our public spaces in a way that works for everyone. And in our case, you know, Eugene is the county seat. And so Eugene is where services are provided. So if people need services, that's where they're going to come. So that's another reality that we have to deal with and learn to deal with well. So we have a government-given responsibility that we must honor, and we're going to draw people because we have those services there. So we're going to have this variety of people. We've always had this variety of people. The issue and what will speak to us as a community and will speak to us as human beings is how we manage this in a way that's thoughtful and caring and practical and protective of everyone in our community, those who visit and those who live there.
About 5 minutes left to talk about this issue with Mayor Kitty Piercy in Eugene and Mayor John Stromberg in Ashland. Here is Chris in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. I really appreciate our mayors and local people who are doing so much to help those who, you know, are in such bad situation. And I'm going to connect some really broad dots with this quote by Martin Luther King. And beforehand, I want to say, you know, half of our income tax dollars go to the military, and I think we're really feeling the effect of that at the local level, just misallocation of money towards war when we really should be spending it domestically. And here's the quote by Martin Luther King: "A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom." And I know this is a huge problem, but I just think it's really important to reflect on where our tax dollars are going.
All right. Thanks for that, Chris. Appreciate that. I want to ask each of the mayors in turn next steps here. I mean, John Stromberg, the three-plus-hour listening session, did a to-do list emerge from that with steps you can take?
Well, the city council put together a list, which I don't have before me, that they're working their way through. Also, various groups and people in the community are there's a general realization that we have to mobilize the whole community. We don't have the resources of a city the size of Eugene. We can't even assign a staff person, really, to work on this full time. But what we do have is we have a community where we interact with each other face to face. And I think that that has some potential. The next, if I had to pick five steps, this is what I would be doing. I would get have a couple of police officers downtown from 10 in the morning till after the Shakespeare Festival gets out at night, 6 days a week through the whole season. Not necessarily arresting people, but just they bring a quality, they improve the quality of behavior of some people. I would get an outreach worker, particularly downtown, to start bringing services and to veterans, young people, and people who are mentally ill, and hope to sort of get them on the path out of being on the street. I am working on these things. I'm working to get the county mental health facility established and operating in town. Find a way. Fourth thing is to divert this stream of money that is part of the attraction to some of the panhandlers coming here. Get that going where it should be going, to our local people. And then we have a situation out at exit 14 where we're getting an intermix between people traveling through and our local homeless people, and it's causing a bunch of problems. We have to address that.
Kitty Piercy, you mentioned a meeting coming up on December 2nd. What's going to happen there?
We're looking for local solutions as opposed to local complaints, and we have very smart people with a lot of skills and abilities. I think they'll bring some good ideas to the table. I certainly have some that I've sort of gleaned as well. I also want to say that I've joined the Mayor's Challenge nationally to end homeless vets in 2015. We set a goal for housing 365 veterans this year and have brought all our resources together and just focused on that. And we're at about, we've housed about 325 now. So I think we're going to hit that one. As you know, I said that we had sent a message to the state that they need to be more engaged in this with all of our communities, and so they've agreed to do a work group on that. I'm working on a work group on legislation. We need to get that $60 million that the legislature allocated for housing and get it out there, because we have housing issues all over this state. So whether it's legislation, whether it's veterans, whether it's affordable housing, I'm working on all those fronts. And at the same time, I think we'd all say, and I agree with the woman who talked about how we use our dollars, what happens at the national level certainly comes down to roost in our communities. And all of us are probably working equally hard on economic development to try to be sure people can have jobs and opportunity so that fewer people fall out of our system. I think we have to be, it's very difficult when you're dealing with these difficult behavioral issues in your community. But I think people have to really understand what's happened to a lot of people in this nation, and this is something that we share together. We've got to lift people up and get them back in healthy situations, just like happened after the Depression. So we have to kind of keep our eyes focused on where we want things to be, as opposed to blaming and shaming people. We certainly have to hold people accountable, but we have to also keep our eyes on where the problem comes from and how we can solve it together here in Oregon and throughout the nation.
Many steps lie ahead, and these are issues obviously not just for Eugene and not just for Ashland, but I want to thank both mayors for joining us today. Kitty Piercy is the mayor of Eugene. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
John Stromberg is the mayor of Ashland. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.